Because of listeners like you, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies. Your $28 to sponsor one ultrasound doubled a baby's chance at life. Your tax-deductible gift saves lives. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.
It's Fire Away Friday.
Fire Away Friday.
On Exploring the Word, this is your chance to ask us your Bible question at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. You can also email your question at word@afr.net or visit facebook.com/exploringtheword.
Exploring the Word.
It's Fire Away Friday on American Family Radio.
We're not the only people that's had to stress over evildoers. Listen to what David said in Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now what are we to do while that's taking place? Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Now listen to verse 4, Psalm 37, 4. This is one of my life verses. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. This is Bert Harper, and we're waiting on a connection for Dylan Burris. Alex is traveling. He and Angie, they got caught up in traffic from Pleasant Garden, North Carolina, where they live, all the way to the Cove in outside of Asheville. And so he called and said, listen, I don't think I'm going to make it. And he made a call to Dylan Burris, and Dylan happened to be able to say, yes, I can do it. So, Dylan, are you there? Okay, we don't have the audio. We got the picture up, and I'm looking at him, but I can't see him. But he'll be with us in short order, we believe. But that number, if you got a question today on Fire Away Friday, is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Well, listen, while we're waiting on Dylan, I'll take some calls, and I'm going to be like this guy that had a chauffeur, and the guy said, that question is so easy, I'm going to let my chauffeur answer it. So if it's a hard question, I'm going to transfer it to Brent Austin. Brent, are you ready to help if I need help, brother?
I think you already know the answer to that.
I appreciate you, brother. We got a great team here. But anyway, we're trying to get Dylan on, so we'll do it. But while we're waiting on him, let's go to Tennessee. Daryl, thank you for calling.
Hey, enjoy the show, guys. I'm wanting to know, how do you know when God is closing a door and when He's wanting you to wait on Him to know what He's doing?
Okay, great question, Daryl. Wait upon the Lord, and He shall direct your paths. Here's what I've come to do, and I'll give you one or two things that's maybe helped me. But I've been walking with the Lord for 62 years, and I still struggle with that, Daryl. And matter of fact, in recent weeks, it's been that way. But here's, I'd rather, the whole idea is walking with Him. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? So you're wanting to walk with God. I just surely don't want to get out in front of the Lord. Getting in front of the Lord, man, listen, don't want to do that. I don't want to lag behind, but I'd rather follow the Lord. Now, how in the world do I know that? I'm going to stay in His Word. I tell you that. I'm going to look for other people to guide me and to help me in counseling. And so that's what I do. Dylan, are you with us now, brother?
I'm there, yes.
Praise the Lord.
Friday.
Well,
yes.
See, our prayers are answered. So, listen, Daryl from Tennessee, I don't know if you're from Chattanooga or not, but Daryl from Tennessee has asked the question about knowing about God and His will for our life, waiting. How do you know if you need to wait or launch out into the deep? Again, I believe so staying good in the Word and getting advisors, but would you give Daryl some thoughts?
Yeah, well, you're on the right track. I mean, God's word is the clearest thing we have in terms of giving guidance, but it doesn't always give us a text message that says, you know, turn right ahead or exactly what to do in the next step. And so sometimes you need other factors involved. Sometimes God will work through certain circumstances, although we have to be careful with that. And then there are other people in our lives who can give godly wisdom, who can help guide us in the right direction. But one godly wisdom, or one piece of godly wisdom I've been given over the years that's been very helpful to me, because I tend to want to move quickly, sometimes quicker than God would want. But the advice to stay where God has called you until you know he's clearly called you somewhere else. And that's been a good one for me. So there had been times when I'm ready to jump to the next thing quicker than maybe I should. But I know that it's better to stay where God has placed me at the moment and to bloom where I'm planted until I have clear direction on my next steps. And that's helped me a lot of times and saved me from some grief that I would have had from moving too soon, from being impatient on a decision. So I hope that helps you as well.
Daryl, let me give you one more, and this is biblical in the book of Acts. It's one of my favorite passages, scriptures, I admit. It was on Paul's second missionary journey, and it changed the world. I just tell you, that second missionary journey changed the world when God called him from the Asia Minor, what is modern-day Turkey, into the European theater that we know today. It changed the world completely. Western civilization, the whole world. Now, what happened? He wanted to go north. God's Holy Spirit hindered him. Now, here's what we don't know. We don't know exactly how that occurred. We don't know the words he heard. We do not know the feelings that he felt. But he did exactly what Dylan has said. He stayed there one more night. And he said, I still feel like this is where I need to go. But God hindered him again. And then he gave him a clear call from the man from, you know, coming over here. Macedonia call, come over here. He obeyed and went. Now, again, here's what I see. Affirmation. Not just something that happened, occurred, but affirmation that this is God. And Daryl, that has helped me. It's not necessarily a lack of faith when you say, okay, God, I'm not sure this is yours. But the other thing, my sheep hear my voice, and I can know them, and I know them. I think we can, as we walk with God, stay in his word, pray and seeking him. We can have some discernment on that, Daryl. I hope that helps, brother, because I identify that. Everybody, I think, that's followed the Lord, Dylan, identifies, do I stay or do I go?
Yes.
Okay, let's go to Illinois, and it's William. William, thank you for calling. Fire away Friday. Go right ahead, brother.
Good day, brother. We were talking the other day about Lindsey Graham having a sudden death and how soon people can die, but I noticed that this earthquake, it hit down in Venezuela. There's another one that I heard today hit in Mexico. How many people can be killed so instantly and not at all ages and not be ready to be in trouble? But one other comment I've got to make is I grew up in the 50s when God was holy and everything about God was a holiness about him. It seems like that's been lost today, that they think they can trifle with that. Thank you, brothers. Bye.
Okay, William. Prepare to meet God. Dylan, when do you need to be ready to meet God?
Right now, yes. We're supposed to live every moment. Like, this could be the moment that we go to be with him or he comes to take us home to be with him. So that's exactly right. We need to live in light of the holiness of God. And we do live in a culture that sees more of Jesus as our homeboy versus Jesus as our savior and as our Lord to revere and to bow down to. But we take counsel in God's word, where we see the example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, for example, who refused to bow down before the idol that cost them their lives potentially. They were going to be thrown into a fiery furnace, and yet God spared them in a miraculous way. But they said even if they did not receive God's rescue, that they would refuse to bow down. And that's the attitude we should have. That's the perspective that we need to have every moment of every day, and it's certainly something to reflect on more in our time as in times past, like you mentioned. Thanks so much for your comments. I appreciate it.
We do. Let me make one more comment. Just like Daryl was looking, okay, direction from the Lord, stay in the word. looking for a right perspective on God in His holiness, stay in the Word. There's nothing that replaces the Word of God in your life. And it draws us in, and I think it shows us who He is and in all His holiness. And we appreciate that. Number, if you've got question for us, is 888-589-8840. And we're going to go out to Texas and talk to Gene. Gene, thank you for calling today. Go right ahead.
Hey, Bert and Darren.
Dylan, D-I-L-L-O-N. I won't spell your name so everybody will know it, Dylan. Okay, go ahead, Gene.
Okay, sorry about that. Okay, I am 69. I've known the Lord since I was 8. So I'm 61 years in the Lord. So I'm close there, Bert. But I grew up in Texas, born in Texas, love Texas. You know, I'm very patriotic, but never before have I been so concerned about Texas and our elections coming up.
Yep.
This is my question. How, in Matthew 7, the Lord cautions against beware of false prophets. I want to know, how can I determine that a Muslim who says he is a Christian or she, but it's rare to hear from a woman Muslim because they're not supposed to talk. They're not supposed to do hardly anything in Islam. So when I hear a man say he was a Muslim and he's become a Christian, how do I know he's speaking the truth? Because in Islam, they can lie to their enemy to deceive them. And in Texas, we are getting more and more mosques and more Muslims. So what do you think?
Gene, thank you. It's not only in Texas. It is in other places as well. Let me just tell you, but since Texas is so large that you would see that so much. Let me make a comment, and Dylan, you be ready. Surface. Okay. A wolf in sheep's clothing. They may say, change their appearance by fakery, by some disguise, but go deeper and you see and you hear. That would be true with Muslim. It would be true with anyone. Keep that in mind. Surface, but going deeper. Why? God said to Jesse, listen, you have any more sons? I'm not impressed with all this outward stuff. I look at the heart. Now, can we do that, Dylan? No, we can't go that deep, but we can dissect some of those, I would say, characteristics. Would you agree?
Well, sure, and I understand the concern. If someone says that they are a Christian but does not live like it, that's a clear indicator that we should be skeptical. I think 1 John 1 is clear on that. Verse 6 says, if we claim to have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. It's our actions that give away where our heart really is. And that's convicting for all of us because we all have to guard our hearts and our actions each day. But in the case that you're talking about, if someone is trying to be deceptive, you'll find out over time by watching their actions. And we've seen this time and time again, whether it's in the political realm, whether it's in churches, whether it's in your personal life with somebody that you know, that we watch their actions, and that will ultimately reveal whether it's immediately or over time where they truly stand in their relationship with God.
Amen. Hey, Gene, I'm going to continue. I got two or three other things to add to that when we come back, so be sure and listen. But thank you for calling. That number, and we do have some lines that are open, 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear your call today as we dig into God's Word for His leadership and His guidance. We'll be right back. Right now, more mothers need that moment of hope. Just $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps rescue 5 babies. Your generous, tax-deductible gift also helps provide mothers who choose life with love and support and care for up to 2 years. Please don't wait. Help surround mothers and babies with compassion, truth, and hope today. To donate, dial #2. 250 and say the keyword baby. That's hashtag 250 baby, or visit preborn.com/Bert Harper. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. Psalm 145, 8 through 9.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Amen. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. This is Dylan Burrows. I'm here with Bert Harper, and I'm filling in for Alex McFarland today, who's traveling and speaking at the Cove. So be praying for him as he's ministering to some of our listeners there today in North Carolina. And enjoy getting an opportunity to be with you and to hear some of your questions. We've been talking with Jean, and she had some interesting insights. And I want to let Bert jump in and share a couple more thoughts that we didn't get to before the break, before we move on. So share a little bit more of what you had there.
Gene, this comes from years of trying to do what you just asked. As pastor, you got to look at that, okay, the decisions we make, inviting someone to preach, testimonies and all the things. So I've lived a life of saying, okay, what is this? Let me share with you. This is really important. And I just say progressives do this in every way, not just in scriptures, politics, in every way. Words and what the definitions are. Look what, the woke society has done. They change definitions of what they mean. Now, that's exactly also what they do concerning scriptures and, oh, this means, oh, and so you're looking deeper. That's what and the word is surface, honestly. They use that word as a covering, but the meaning that they have given to it is completely different. That's why it's so important when you get into the Word of God, and Alex and I try to do this, Dylan, and when he's on, we get in, what is the word here? What is it meaning? What was it in the context of the Word of God? And so that's the advice we give you. And sometimes time, but just listen carefully, watch and see, and listen carefully about what the word is and how they use it. And it usually can help you a lot. Well, before we go to the next person, by the way, we do have people that have called, and we're going to get to Sarah and Colleen in just a minute. But I understand we got some people that came in, Brent, on Word. Is our Facebook? Which one?
It's on Facebook.
Facebook.
It went blank as soon as you said something. I don't know what you did to my phone. But
that's
thanks.
What our technology is doing today. Dylan had trouble getting on. You're having trouble. But it's somewhere up in space, you know?
It is.
Go ahead.
First of all, I have one from Nancy. She said she enjoys listening to Bert on Trivia Friday, and she believes the brand of gasoline that was on the Andy Griffith Show was Acme.
Woo, that's exactly right. For those of you that do not listen to trivia, now here's what's funny, Dylan. I'll go somewhere and they say, well, Exploring the Word's my second favorite show. And you got to ask, what's number one? Trivia Friday. And I get to be on that, and I get to ask an Andy Griffith Show, question. One time I was on, and I did not ask it. I got emails complaining. And so,
serious,
so, yeah. So Wally's, you don't say service station or gas station. It's filling station.
Filling station.
Filling station.
Right. Yes.
It was Acme. And they would have super. It didn't say premium all the time. Most of the time it said super or regular. One time in one show, now I didn't notice this. I looked it up. It had premium on both of them. But amen. I love to do. Thank you. Make my day.
Make Exploring the Word their second favorite, then The Compass their third favorite. I would have it made.
You would, man. What's the question now?
No, the other one is a prayer request, Merciless. She's having some orthopedic appointment, and she needs some prayers for that. They're trying to decide whether to give her surgery.
Help me with that spelling, so I can write her name down and pray.
Ursula, U-R-S-U-L-A.
Okay. Okay. Ursula, Father, we're praying for Ursula that you would direct all the people that are involved in the decisions concerning her treatment. And God, we trust you. You are the great physician. Intervene. Use whatever means it is so you'd get the glory. And it may be what Paul experienced when God says, my grace is sufficient. We may not like that answer, but that is your answer sometimes, Father. And we trust you with it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ursula. Okay, let's go to North Carolina. Sarah, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi. So Jesus in the Bible is referred to as the Son of God and also the Son of Man, which to me, the two sound contradictory. So could you just break down what each of them mean?
Okay. Dylan, is it in Daniel that we find the Son of Man and it's revealed that it's the Messiah? Is that in Daniel, if I remember right? I believe it is. I was trying to find it exactly. If Alex was, you made to be as good as Alex. Alex has such a fantastic memory. He's got 90-something percent recall. I tell folks, between Alex and myself, we got 100%.
That's great. Well, I know Son of Man is the common theme used throughout Ezekiel. It's used several times there. So that's one area of emphasis, and it's a title that refers to the humanity of Jesus.
Exactly.
Obviously, you know, he's both a God and human, 100% human, 100% God, and at some points in the scriptures they emphasize his humanity through the title Son of Man, other times emphasize Son of God. But yeah, specifically in Daniel 7 there's the revelation of him being the Ancient of Days, one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds. We sometimes sing that song in our churches, so it's also a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. So, you know, it's emphasizing his humanity, but also a prediction that we see hundreds of years before Jesus came to earth in his ministry. And so it becomes a fulfillment in addition to an emphasis of his humanity. But then, of course, the Son of God is emphasizing his equality with God the Father, his role as second person in the Trinity, his eternality and nature. This is an important part of his being as well. So we can't have one without the other, but it's sometimes becomes confusing because we see scripture talking about it in two different ways and we're trying to figure out the differences, when in reality, it depends on the context and what is being emphasized by the writer at the particular moment. So I hope that's helpful. They're both important, emphasized at different points for it. Important reasons in scripture.
Sarah, let me tell you a struggle that I had when I first heard this about the humanity of Jesus, but also that he was God. I thought, okay, 50-50. And guess what? That's not true. And then you find out he's the only begotten Son of the Father. And that word begotten, translated in that language, and then it gets unique, I would say indescribable. Dylan, you catch what I'm saying? He is the one and only 100% man. Yes, he was. And yes, a perfect man, but man in all ways. But he's God. And he's the only one. Use the word begotten, unique, one and only. There's so much that we could say. But Sarah, to get who Jesus is, one of those doesn't completely describe it. They do not contradict one another. They do tell something about him. The Ancient of Days, there's another one. The Lily of the Valley. Mm-hmm. How do you describe Jesus? Dylan, words have not been given to us yet to fully describe our Lord and Savior Jesus, has it?
Well said. Well, Philippians 2, they believe, is a part of an ancient Christian song that was used. And this is how we oftentimes have to describe the attributes of Jesus, because we don't have the words to write it down adequately. But Philippians 2:6 calls Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to use to his own advantage, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And it goes on from there, but that idea that he left heaven, came to earth, became fully human, to embrace that nature, to appear as a man, to die on the cross, to forgive us of our sins. He paid the ultimate price, and we can't adequately pay for it. We can't fully explain it, but we can accept it and believe on him to be saved. So it's a glorious part of our faith that we rejoice in and worship, whether we're with our friends on Sunday or whether we're on our own speaking our praises to him ourselves.
And one of the greatest parts about that, he is knowable. He made himself.
Yes.
He revealed himself to us. That number, again, Brent says, call this number, 888-589-8840. Give us a call. Let's go to Texas and talk to Colleen. Colleen, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hello, everyone. Yes, my comment is on the Holy Spirit again. And it's what Jehovah gives us Holy Spirit if we ask him. And we have to pray constantly and ask Jehovah God, our Heavenly Father, to give us his Holy Spirit. And he can give us his Holy Spirit to do, to preach, to teach, in our painful times, you know, to go through our hurtful, painful times, things we're going through. His Holy Spirit strengthens us. His Holy Spirit helps us to go through whatever we may ask him for his Holy Spirit to help us.
Let me tell you, Holy Spirit, again, we've been doing that the last 2 days, study the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Dylan, we're even going to do it Monday, and we're excited about it. The Holy Spirit, Colleen, is given to every believer at the point of salvation, baptized in the Spirit. But listen, the anointing and the filling of the Holy Spirit, here's how I put it, Dylan, you take it away. Anointing is different than the filling. The anointing is equipping, you know, and I know the anointing of God, giving me what I need at that time in the ministry to deliver or to do what God would have me to do. His anointing, his, you know, it says more grace in the book of Romans. He gives more grace. At these times, the anointing, he makes more, he's not more available. He's always available. He pushes more and gives us the ability. The filling, when you see the filling, it seems like it's more for living, you know, walk in the Spirit, you know, be filled with the Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is amazing. We have him. We just need to make ourselves available to him, surrender to him, and let him use us, don't we?
That's a good way to put it. And, you know, we don't need to go out there and get more of the Holy Spirit. It's already in us, but letting it live through us is a difficult challenge. I love where it talks about in Scripture that the Holy Spirit helps us in prayer. I know in Jude verse 20, it talks about us praying in the Holy Spirit. And then in Romans 8, talks about us interceding through God's Spirit according to the will of God. So the Spirit even helps us to pray more accurately and adequately in communicating what needs to be said in our relationship with God. But it renews us, it gives us new birth, it restores us, it comforts us, it helps us have hope. There are so many ways the Holy Spirit gets us through day-to-day living that as I look back at my earlier years before I knew the Lord, I think, how does anybody make it in this life without God's Spirit within them? It's hard enough when you do live for God. How do you make it without God and without his Spirit in your life? So you're right to describe the Holy Spirit as the one who leads us and guides us and gives us power and strength. But we also have to be careful that we are guided by the principles of God's Word, that we are cautioning ourselves against false teachings, that we're spending time with other believers so we can stay on the right path, like we talked about earlier. The Holy Spirit is so powerful, but we also have to make sure we are guided by proper teachings in God's Word, as we talk about in this program on a daily basis. So we appreciate so much your question and hope that's helpful and encouraging to you.
We really do, Colleen, and thank God for his sweet Holy Spirit. Did I understand, Brent, you were holding up? We got another comment or a question from from Facebook?
Yes, I've got one. Oh, I got several, so let me go with this one first. Susan writes, she was wondering, did Rahab remain a prostitute?
There is no evidence that she remained. She was referred to, I think, as a testimony of God's grace. What? Because who she married and who was born to her, I think the definite answer is no, she did not remain prostitute. What do you think, Dylan?
Yeah, it's pretty clear that afterwards that she joined the Israelites and she actually married into one of the tribes of Israel. And it's interesting that we later see her mentioned in the family line of Jesus himself. So this is an important point to make, that even though she was known for something pretty shady early in her life, that she had faith in the Lord and in his people, became part of the Israelites, was one of the only survivors from the Battle of Jericho, and went on to be an important part of God's plan that impacts us still today. So it's a good reminder to me that God can use anyone from any situation and use them for good. And Rahab's a powerful example of that. So we think of her as Rahab the prostitute. We look at her now as Rahab, a woman who was used by God in a powerful and mighty way. So I see her much differently now. So it's an important question. Thanks so much.
And I would say this, when you come to the New Testament and you find someone named Mary Magdalene, you know, she's known for what she was, but God's deliverance. And when you see it saying that and knowing the whole story, it's a testimony of exactly what Dylan was talking about, the grace of God that delivers us from all sin. Dylan, Alex quotes this quite a bit. All means all, and all, that's all means. And isn't that a great, hey, we're going to come back. That number, we still have some lines that are open. We got one or two here, but there's more room for you. 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear your question today on Fire Away Friday on Exploring the Word.
America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Man, it is so hard to cut off some of these songs that that Brent plays.
And I heard you talking about that a while ago with one of the questions, and you said he's indescribable. And I said,
it
hey,
is. That is
song.
The word. He really is. And my wife and I, this morning, she was reading an article, The Benefits of Singing. You know, I know some guys, especially men, they're guilty of their listening, and just they say, I'm worshiping the Lord. But there's benefits in expressing it with your voice. So let me recommend all you guys that are kindly, you know, can't sing like I can't. I don't, but I try to, those folks that sit in front of me, they have to put up with it. And but the benefits of singing is great. I'll be at Ozark Baptist Church preaching, but before I preach, I'll be singing with a congregation. And so we're looking forward to that. Well, we've got people that have called in. We're going to get to these as quickly as we can. And one of them is from Texas, and it's William. William, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Howdy, pilgrims.
Amen.
I'm not a fan of opening up old wounds, but just before Robbie Zacharias's downfall, I was caught up in some of his messages, and for the longest time, I was a lot like Thomas. I wasn't going to believe it until I saw scars. And I saw a video yesterday that kind of explained what he was dealing with. And I say dealing with, it was his own fault. And I know we shouldn't put man up on a pedestal, but I was just really, I just couldn't believe it. But yeah. Hey. I had an answer to my prayer. I saw a video that explained what he was dealing with, and praise God. I pray he got right with God. Amen. Before he checked out. Thank you all.
William, thank you. Listen, you're not the only one that was devastated. Let me just say this, and Dale, I want you to comment too. His life choices and what he was doing does not take away the truth. It takes away that he would say it, but the truth is still there. There are some hymns that we sing, some great songs that's been written in the last 20, 25 years that have written that they're awesome, but yet the person that wrote them they went off, or it was revealed what they were to begin with, Dylan, but truth is truth, you know? And it's kind of like, here's, I use this illustration real quick, guys. I've seen some pastors that I know that baptized people, okay? And later on, that pastor went astray. That doesn't do away with that baptism, because the water baptism, because it was demonstrated truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Dylan, would you speak to that as well?
No, you're right. And, you know, it's a great example of times where there are very powerful teachers or speakers on behalf of the Christian faith who are struggling with their own personal issues behind the scenes. And having known him personally, you realize that was the case. You know, he had a strong ministry and yet had his own struggles that nobody saw for many years. And, you know, we all have to look at that and say, you know, what is the best response to that? Well, the best response is, one, we have to guard our own hearts. You know, Jesus talked about, you know, taking the plank out of our own eye before we take the speck out of the other person's eye. But at the same time, like you said when you called in, we don't put people up on a pedestal. We worship Christ. And we seek to point others toward him the best we can and realize everybody else is just trying their best along the way. So I'm not going to comment on the particulars of that case, but it's something that we see a lot of times with ministry leaders, that when somebody falls, how do you respond? Well, God didn't mess up. People messed up. And so we do our best to help those people to improve when we can, when they're able to humble themselves and be restored in some cases. And when it comes down to it, our goal is to focus on the Lord and not let those things shake us and point us away from Christ in our own walk with him.
Amen. And it should make us to be quick to take out all those things that would detract from our relationship with Christ. Be quick to confess it. Be quick to get it right. Don't wait. Get right with God and stay right with God as best you can. Doesn't mean you're perfect, but it does mean you're correcting yourself as the Holy Spirit will lead you and the Word of God will show you. Thank you so much for that. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Terry. Terry, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, Brother Burt, Brother Dylan.
Yes, hello. Good to hear from you.
Hey.
We're from in Mississippi. Now, are you a neighbor of Tupelo?
Long Beach, which really a very long beach.
Yeah, but it's way south of Tupelo. Go right ahead, Terry.
It sure is. I lead a ladies' Bible study class, and we just started studying Acts, and so I've been keenly interested in your Holy Spirit teachings the last couple of days. I've been taking notes and all. And it occurred to me, I pray to God in Jesus' name. I pray to Jesus, but I also sometimes pray to the Holy Spirit. I talk to him and I pray to him. So am I supposed to pray to the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name?
Amen. Jesus' name. Let me use one word, Dylan, you go first on it. Authority. Okay? Authority. How do we reach God? Through the authority of Jesus. It's not like abracadabra. No, it's not that. It's the authority of Jesus, isn't it?
Yes, and it is a common question because we find ourselves praying in Jesus' name. We find ourselves praying to God, but then we think, well, the Holy Spirit is God too. Why can't we pray to the Holy Spirit? And the answer is we can pray to the Holy Spirit, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. That's part of the triune God. He's God just as much as Jesus or God the Father. But what we see more commonly in the New Testament is that we pray through the Spirit in the name of Jesus to God the Father. That's the most common format that we see, so that's what we typically do. So it doesn't mean that the other is wrong. It just means that we commonly follow that pattern that we see in the New Testament scripture. So it's a good question, and nothing wrong with it, but it certainly is less common than when we hear people praying in the name of Jesus. So it's a good one, and appreciate you calling.
Two things let me add to that. The song, and I love it, Sweet Holy Spirit, You're Welcome in This Place. That's a prayer.
Yes.
That's a prayer song. I love prayer songs. And we're saying, Lord, saturate your, you know, make yourself known to us. Sweet Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, convict us, guide us. Man, cry out to him. In the name of Jesus honestly means because of us having access. Remember what happened when Jesus died on the cross. The middle wall of partition was broken down. That veil that was how thick was, man, it was so thick, and it was torn from what, top to bottom, so that we have direct access. That's what it's talking about in Jesus' name. Because of Jesus, the high priest, we have direct access to God. So you could say it this way, Lord, because of who Jesus is and what he's done, I'm making my prayer. Okay? And sweet Holy Spirit, do a work in my life. Heavenly Father, just listen, mix all three of them up in the same prayer, Dylan. And it really touches your heart. Like some of the songs, and they'll talk about the Holy Spirit, the minister we sung one Sunday about, God, thank you for sending your son. Son, thank you for coming. And then thank you, Father, for leaving your Holy Spirit with us. So prayers and songs like that, I tell you, I think we can really, really worship when we do that. Let's go to Texas. Marilyn, thank you for calling. Go right ahead. Marilyn, are you there? Let's try again. Don't cut her off there, Brent. Hey, Marilyn, we really want to talk with you. Are you there?
Marilyn.
Oh. No.
Okay, go ahead, Marilyn. Turn your radio down. Okay, Marilyn. Okay, we couldn't get her question. I saw it about cremation. We get that question quite a bit, Marilyn, and I hope you're listening now. A lot of people are doing cremation because of the expense. And the first person that I knew, he was a professor at Mid-America Seminary, which is outside of Memphis, Tennessee, just a great biblical missionary pastoring, sending seminary. And he was cremated. And, man, I said, oh, man, that's new. And he said, he left the testimony that it was because he'd rather have the money spent on missions and planting churches than on his burial. So I think it's a matter of choice. Dylan, you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you brought that up because Alex has an article on his website that's exactly on this that he just posted about his cremation round for Christians, and he has a great response to it. He says, cremation is not a sin. Christians have the freedom to choose cremation or burial. And while it's not wrong, traditional burial is generally the better choice because it more clearly reflects the biblical pattern and the Christian hope of the resurrection. So I think that's a good way to put it, is that, you know, in Scripture, you see, especially in the Old Testament, a focus on a proper burial. And even in Jewish culture today, there's that emphasis on the remains of a person's body being honorably buried. But it doesn't mean cremation is wrong. I mean, all that matters is whether we know the Lord or not when life is over, ultimately. So that's the main focus. But me personally, you know, I would prefer to be buried and not be cremated because I feel like that's a more honorable burial, and the same for my family member. So it's really a personal choice, but that's basically what you see in scriptures. It doesn't give a clear command one way or the other, but it does reflect a certain style of burial culture from Jewish perspective that does not do cremation in most cases. So I hope that's helpful.
Marilyn, sorry we couldn't hear your voice, but I hope you heard us and give you that answer. Well, let's stay in Texas and talk to Brad. Brad, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, Brother Bert, good to talk to you. My question is, I don't know, a bit confusing, but if you're walking in the Spirit, you're praying in the Spirit, and you feel like the Holy Spirit is guiding you down God's road, and you've looked at the whole situation, and you've tried to find anything that's not biblical in what the Holy Spirit is saying, should you go ahead and just go for it, or should you wait for maybe a bigger sign? Let me just explain what's happening. My wife and I, we own some property here in Texas, and it's a little piece of Texas, almost 11 acres, and I was looking at houses in another town, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, you need to move, you need to move, you need to move. And well, in that town, we really couldn't find anything. But then all of a sudden, just one town over, the perfect property popped up, and it's literally right across from a church that there's only 4 members in this church. And it's the same kind of church that we go to. And to me, that seems like that's a sign of from God to, yes, this would be a good move for you. And this, and everything financially works out. Okay. And it works out perfectly. So.
Yeah. Amen, Brad. We hear you. So we make this a prayer request, too. Let me share with you, and I know Dylan does, and we'll do this as clear as we can. The Holy Spirit of God will never contradict the Word of God. But like Dylan said earlier, it's not like a text you get from God and saying, go do this. But there may be examples in the Word in the Bible that you can look at and see what God has done. God doesn't move the goalpost, but He does move us, okay? I want to use this, and I'll throw it to Dylan. Don't ever dig your roots so deep that when God says move, it uproots everything around you. You know, all the great men of God have been mobile. Abraham was mobile. Moses was mobile. John the Baptist was mobile. Paul was mobile. You catch what I'm saying, Dylan?
Yes.
I think God will clearly let you know, Brad. I really do. If you don't get a no, I think you've got the heart to do what God wants you to do. Dylan, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. From what you described, it seems like you're on the right track. You're praying about it. You're using wise due diligence. So I would say continue to pursue it and see if it continues going in that direction. There could still be something that happens along the way that puts a stop to it, but it could also get you one step closer to where God ultimately wants you to be. So I would say, full speed ahead until you find some other reason not to keep pursuing this. But it seems like God's moving in that direction as far as I can tell so far.
I would check with your wife, Brad. I just want to tell you, God doesn't usually move husband and wife in two different directions. Now, one can be cautious and the other can be going. I know this. Okay, let's go. And my wife says, why should we? Why have you heard? And it caused me to pull back and start praying, start digging into the Word of God. And then it gets clearer. And guess what it helps, Dylan? It helps our wives to see as well. When we have done our due diligently in seeking the Word, praying, and then even getting some advice like Brad has from us. God works those things together, doesn't He?
Yes, He does.
Well, I want to say it's been, thank you, Dylan, for coming in for Alex today. Pray for Alex at the Cove. He'll be there all week. So we want to be praying for him. He should be back Monday. We're going to continue with the Holy Spirit. And we want to say thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We want you to be in church on Sunday, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And all you men that just stand there with your arms folded, unfold them and open your mouth and sing to the glory of God. It'll do you good and do those even around you that may not sound as good. it will do them a good as well. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Dylan, thank you for being with us. And we praise God for what he's done, and may he continue to bless you, guide you in all his ways.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Preborn's whole mission is to rescue babies from abortion and lead their families to Christ. Last year, Preborn's network of clinics saw 8,900 mothers come to Christ. Please join us in this life-saving mission. To donate, go to preborn.com/AFR.